For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. Romans 5:8. But God commends His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Romans 10:9. Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:10. And Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to the book of Jonah, chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study this evening. We're in a magnificent chapter, the second chapter of the book of Jonah. We informed you when we began studying the book of Jonah that there were principles of each chapter. And I explained at that time that there were 10 points of principles in relationship to chapter 1. And I made mention of the fact that I would give those points at the beginning of the chapter and again at the end of the chapter. I also wanted you to know that we're beginning chapter 2 tonight. So that means that we have principles of chapter 2, and there are 8 principles that we'll be sharing with you in a few moments. And when we get to the end of chapter 2, we will repeat those 8 points again. Chapter 3 has 5 principles. Chapter 4 has 12 principles. So I just wanted you to know where we are. We have covered chapter 1, and we are going to review tonight, after our prayer, the principles of chapter 1. Then we're going to read verses 1 through 6 of chapter 2, and I'll present to you then the 8 principles of the second chapter. May we pray together, please. Father, we're here tonight because of your grace. You've blessed us again today, and we thank you for your love and for your provisions for us, for the opportunity which we have now to open our minds and hearts to your word. We thank you for every blessing. We ask that these moments of study today will be, of course, very challenging to us, that we may learn and utilize and apply the things which we're learning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, we're going to look at the principles of chapter 1. I thought about reading chapter 1 again, but I felt like if I did that, I wouldn't have the time to get into chapter 2 and deal with it as I desire. So you'll just have to remember that we've studied the verses of chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1, when Jonah was fleeing to Tarshish, instead of going to Nineveh, you remember that he found quickly a ship, which gives us this principle: the ready way is not always the right way. Most of us are familiar now with the map. We've seen where he was reared as a child, and when he grew up, and when he came to Joppa to board this ship, because he did not want to obey the will of God, the plan of God, to go and preach at Nineveh. So when Jonah was fleeing to Tarshish, instead of going to Nineveh, he found quickly a ship, which gives us the principle: the ready way is not always the right way. Number 2, he paid the fare, which says believers many times don't count the cost when they are determined to sin anyway. That's a very important point. He paid the fare, which says that believers many times don't count the cost when they're determined to sin anyway. Number 3, he went with them, which means that he joined a group of people on that ship, and so he was out of harmony. And so we say here, any old crowd will do. In other words, when you're out of fellowship, out of harmony with the Lord, it really doesn't matter those with whom you find yourself, because you're out of harmony, so any old crowd will do. Number four, the scripture emphasizes in verse 4 of chapter 1 that a mighty tempest arose. And this, of course, brings out the point that sin brings storms into the soul. Sin brings storms into the family. Sin brings storms to the church. And sin brings storms to the nation. Number 5, the shipmaster chided Jonah. We find that in verse 6. This is an evidence of God's goodness. Sometimes it can be a rooster crowing, or as to Peter, here a shipmaster rebuking as to Jonah. The shipmaster chided Jonah. You'll find that in verse 6. We analyzed that in the past. Number 6, God specifically deals with Jonah. It's interesting to see here that there are other sinners on that ship. There's no doubt about that. But God specifically deals with Jonah. God has many ways to bring to light that which seems to be hidden. And that's revealed to us in chapter 1, verse 8. I want to pause for a moment here and remind you of the fact that God does have many ways to bring to light that which seems to be hidden. Oftentimes, individuals who are going against the plan of God somehow feel like that they're sinning, and their sins are not visible, not known, and that they're hiding somewhat. But they may be able to hide from individuals, but they are never are able to hide their disobedience from God. So the emphasis here in verse 8 is that God is specifically dealing with Jonah. There are many other sinners on that ship, but God has many ways to bring to light that which seems to be hidden. Number 7, Jonah gave a testimony of his relationship to the Lord God. We find that in verse 9. And of course, the great temptation is for me to go back and read these verses, but I want to encourage you to write this down and go back and review the verses yourself. Number 7 again, Jonah gave a testimony of his relationship to the Lord God. His confession was one of humility and was one of shame. We see that in chapter 1, verse 9. I found out also that the 8th point is also a very good one. And I analyzed this from the standpoint of whether the verb was a plural or singular. And I put singular on one and plural on the other. You can do whatever you want to with it. The winds of God's vengeance is strong. And I could have put that plural, the winds are strong. But I'm putting this collectively. And so I'm saying the winds of God's vengeance is strong. The tides of God's judgment are rough. You can see that I used is in one place and are in another. So we are seeing here that the winds collectively of God's vengeance is strong. The tides of God's judgment are rough. The sailors now, we discover, were frightened. And they knew that Jonah was no ordinary person. He was a good man. There's no doubt about that. He was a man of God. He was a worshiper of the great creator of heaven and earth. We find that in Jonah chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. Then number 9, God has charge of all the creatures and can make any one of them serve his design of mercy. This is very interesting to me, and that is to be able to see that a specific time, there was a specific fish at a specific location, and God knew how all of this was going to come about, and so God has charge of all the creatures, that's what we see here, and can make any one of them serve his design of mercy. And then number 10, we see a prepared fish swallow Jonah. This is a summary statement of chapter 1, which is a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Savior. And it's presented also for us in relationship to the Matthew account of Matthew 12, 38 to 41, and Luke chapter 11, 29 to 32. Now, if you think I've gone rapidly over that, I have, but that's a summary that we gave you at the beginning of chapter 1 is a summary that we're giving you at the close of chapter 1. Now, if you will, please, let's go to chapter 2. We'll read the first 6 verses. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the stomach of the fish. If you'll glance back at verse 17 of the previous chapter, chapter 1, the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Don't forget where we are in verse 17 of the chapter 1, and then now verse 1 of chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish, and he said, I called out of my distress to the Lord. He answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. Thou didst hear my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me. All thy breakers and billows passed over me. So I said, I have been expelled, banished from thy sight. Nevertheless, I will look again toward thy holy temple. Chapter 2, verse 5. Water encompassed me to the very soul. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. That's pretty picturesque, isn't it? Verse 6. I descended to the roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars was around me forever. But thou hast brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. Before I begin to give you the summary points for chapter 2, let me just remind you of something that you may or may not have thought of. There, throughout this chapter, the second chapter, we could classify this as a psalm of Jonah. A psalm of Jonah. And the reason for that is because in a little while I'm going to point out some verses of scripture from various chapters of the book of Psalms that have the very quotes that we have here in the chapter 2 of the book of Jonah, which I think is quite interesting. So I classify, you classify, theologians have classified chapter 2, the 10 verses of this chapter, as Jonah's psalm. And so you can write that down somewhere and remember it, because I think you'll find it quite unique and interesting. Now, let me ask you, if you will, please, to take a look at the points, 8 points, summary, principles of chapter 2. First of all, number 1, in the fish, though shut off from society, he was not shut off from his heavenly Father. Now, I want you to see that I read for you the 17th verse of chapter 1. I read for you the first verse of chapter 2. I'm going to ask you to look at that again because it's important to see it. And the Lord appointed, prepared, created a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Get that in your mind, please. Then, verse 1 of chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish. Now, I want you to notice where he was and what he was doing, and we see him now praying. In the fish, though shut off from society, he was not shut off from his heavenly Father. Number 2, many times believers are encompassed with the floods of affliction, which result in the delights of devotion. Now, what you have to do is understand what I'm trying to get over here. You can read that statement and it won't mean much to you, but if you'll let me expound on it for a few minutes, you'll be able to see what I'm trying to get over. Many times, believers are encompassed with floods of affliction, which result in the delights of devotion. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is that many times people don't think all that much about thanking God and praising God and praying to God when things are going great. But when things get tough, when the road gets rough, when sickness comes, when death comes, whenever difficulty comes our way, it's interesting that people move into the area of prayer. Now, notice, if you will, what I'm saying here. Many times, believers are encompassed with floods of affliction, which result in the delights of devotion. Now, are you able to see what I'm trying to get over? I'm trying to get over to you the fact that many times our devotion in life becomes very meaningful to us when we find ourselves in the midst of trials and troubles and difficulties and burdens and tests in life. Many times, number two, believers are encompassed with floods of affliction, which will result in the delights of devotion. Number three, the only way out is always up for us as well as it was for Jonah. Comfortable enjoyments and joyful expectations grow very insignificant in the light of a new set of circumstances. Now, what I'm trying to do over these previous days and now for the rest of these studies throughout the chapter 4 of Jonah is to let you see that most of us have said oftentimes, oh, we're familiar with the book of Jonah. We've heard that. We've read it many times. We know all about that. But what I want you to see is what I'm trying to do and I'm trying to do and will continue to try to do is to point out some application, some things that needed to be presented to us and we need to think about in relationship to the man, Jonah. What Jonah desperately wanted while in the fish's stomach was what he was running away from when he went down to Joppa to catch that boat. Do you see that? All right, now let's go back and look again to see what we have in the previous point. Number three, the only way out is up for us as well as it was for Jonah. Comfortable enjoyment or enjoyments and joyful expectations grow very insignificant in the light of a new set of circumstances. Most of us, at one time or the other, have come to a point in our lives where we have become somewhat cold and indifferent to God's plan. And somehow God has gotten a hold of us in whatever way He wants to, and we have come to realize that He's given us a new set of circumstances. Now, I'm looking at you tonight because I want you to stay awake. I want you to be able to see and hear what is being presented because it is something that is very applicable to us today. What Jonah desperately wanted now in that fish's stomach is what he was running away from when he went down to Joppa in chapter 2, in the first chapter, when he was running away from God in chapter 1, verse 6. But we'll notice, and that's supposed to be Jonah chapter 1, verse 6. Number 5. We can be afflicted, not crushed. We can be perplexed and not driven to despair. We can be persecuted and not forsaken. We can be struck down but not destroyed. Now, I know what some of you are saying. My preacher, you surely have come up with some beautiful words. You know where I got it? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. So just in case you're giving me credit for something, I just want you to know that I'm quoting this from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Now let's go back and look again at number 4. What Jonah desperately wanted while in that fish's stomach was what he was running away from in Jonah chapter 1, verse 6. When he went down to Joppa saying, I don't want to go to Nineveh. I'm not going to go there and preach. And there are various reasons for that. We'll get into that later. Now, number 5, we can be afflicted, but not crushed, perplexed and not driven to despair, persecuted, not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. That's 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9. As we continue to look, we discover that, number 6, when my soul fainted, I remembered the Lord. When you remember, always remember the Lord. Don't remember your mistakes. Don't remember your problems. Don't remember your afflictions. Remember the Lord. You follow what we're saying here? It says, when my soul fainted, I remembered the Lord. I just attended, as I said a moment ago, a memorial service for my friend Mike Proctor of St. Mark's Church. And I was interested in knowing that one of the ministers who spoke said, I don't get an opportunity to do this very often, but today I want to talk about not Mike's body, I want to talk about Mike's soul. And so his whole emphasis was on the soul. I'm not going to go into any details about his message one way or the other, but I just want you to know that I was interested in seeing what Jonah is saying here. When my soul fainted, I remembered the Lord. Number seven. This is summary points and we want to see it. The fish had swallowed a stinker, but spat up a sweet aroma. Now you can do whatever you want to with this. I just want you to know that there was a change that took place in Jonah's life while he was down in that stomach, the stomach of that fish. The fish had swallowed a stinker, but some things had changed. And so when, and I used to tell about this to the children, and I said that there came a point of time when the Lord tickled the tongue of the fish, and I mean I had all kinds of stories, and he spit him up on the bank. But anyway, the fish had swallowed a stinker, but spat up sweet aroma. One who was submissive now to God. So I put down here, submission to God makes a difference. The last point that I want to present to you as far as a summary, when God had Jonah at his mercy, God showed Jonah mercy. Now these are very important points that I want you to see. Now you can just look at that for a little while, but I want to take you now and let's look at the six verses. Then Jonah prayed, look at verse 1 of chapter 2, to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish. This lets me know that no matter where you are, it's possible for you to get in touch with God. This shows us that that's a strange place to be for a prayer meeting. But I want you to know that it's a good place to be in case... In this case, it changed the circumstances of his life. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the stomach of the fish. And he said, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. What I'd like for you to do now, if you will, is to go to the book of Psalms. And let's go over to chapter 18. Psalm 18, I'll give you time to find it. I want you to see what we have here. See if there's anything that sounds like what I just read to you from the second chapter of the book of Jonah. I just read and I repeat now, chapter 2, verse 2, he said, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. And I ask you to turn to Psalm 18, verse 6. Let me read it. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. You can see that there is a similar expression there. So you ought to write out by the side of verse 2 of Jonah chapter 2, Psalm 18, verse 6. Then let me read on. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. Thou didst hear my voice. Now, if you will, go to Psalm 120. Psalm 120. I'll give you time to find it. Psalm 120, let's look at verse 1. It says, in my trouble, I cried to the Lord, and he answered me. Psalm 120, verse 1. Then let's look at verse 3. For thou hast cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me. All thy breakers and billows passed over me. Now, if you will, go to Psalm 86. Psalm 86, and go down to verse 13. For it says there in Psalm 86:13, for thy loving kindnesses toward me is great. Thou hast delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. Now what you're doing, if you're following along tonight, I'm showing you the reason why we're calling this chapter 2 Jonah's Psalm is because we're seeing so many connections with the book of Psalms in relationship to these various verses that I'm giving here. Now, I want you to know that I'm at a point where I need to move along quite rapidly because I have a tremendous amount of information to share with you on these verses of Scripture. First of all, I wanted to tell you that when we left Jonah from chapter 1, we left him in the belly of the fish. So stay with us and look at this. We have every reason to consider that that's the end of the story. In other words, if you didn't have the rest of the book, you didn't have the rest of the story, you'd probably conclude here that this is the end of the story. So we have every reason to consider that this is the end of the story. We should hear from him no more. But you and I know better than that because we know that there's a chapter 3 and a chapter 4. All right? Either we discover at this point that Jonah would either be destroyed in the waters of the sea or he would be consumed in the bowels of that Leviathan. Now, I'm going to throw this word to you and let you, if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm going to explain what a Leviathan is. Well, I have it down here. The word Leviathan means a sea monster. Mentioned in the book of Job, chapter 41, verses 19 and 21. Because there it says, out of those mouth goes burning lamps, sparks of fire, and whose breath kindles coals. In other words, the word Leviathan means any huge marine animal such as a whale. Now let's go back and not spend a lot of time here, but let's just notice. We've come to the close of what we could consider the end of Jonah's life. So when we left Jonah chapter 1, we left him in the belly of the fish. As far as we're concerned, if we didn't have the rest of the information, we have every reason to believe that that would be the end of the story. And that we would probably hear no more about Jonah. Now you and I know better than that because we have more of the book of Jonah. Either he would have been destroyed in the waters of the sea, or he would have been consumed in the bowels of some Leviathan. And we've already explained that. But now that we come to chapter 2, in chapter 2, notice, God hears from Jonah. Jonah's been running. Get the picture? He's trying to get away from the presence of God. He doesn't want to do what God wants him to do. All through chapter 1. But when you get into chapter 2 and begin reading like we've done tonight, God now hears from Jonah. He's praying. But let me give you a little glimpse. When you get over into chapter 3, Nineveh hears from Jonah. In other words, there he's preaching. Are you with me? Do you know enough about the book of Jonah that you know where we'll be going when we leave chapter 2 and get into chapter 3? In chapter 2, where we are now, God hears from Jonah. He's praying. The question I have for you, if you had been thrown into the sea and you'd gone into the belly of a big fish and you were still conscious, do you think you'd pray? All right. Now, keep that in mind. Let's look at it point by point. The great distress and the danger that he was in is mentioned in chapter 2, verse 2, verse 3, verse 5, and verse 6. I've had fun doing this because I knew I was going to get you to do something. Not just sit there with your teeth in your mouth and your hair on your head. Well, but to do something. Think. I look at you folks sometimes, I wonder, where are you? Chapter 2, verse 2. I called out of my distress to the Lord, and He answered me. That's verse 2. Verse 3. For Thou hast cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me. All Thy breakers and billows passed over me. That's verse 3. Skip down to verse 5. Water encompassed me to the very soul. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I want you to see it. Don't miss this. Don't go to sleep on this, because you've got to see it. The great distress and the danger that he was in is mentioned in chapter 2, verse 2, chapter 2, verse 3, chapter 2, verse 5, and now chapter 2, verse 6. I descended to the roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars was around me forever. But Thou hast brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. The great distress and dangers that he was in are mentioned in these verses. But now let's stay with it. Number 2, the despair he was almost reduced to is described in verse 4. And I'll read it again. So he said, I've been expelled. I've been banished from thy sight. Nevertheless, I will look again toward thy holy temple. Please notice. When you get that far away from God, the place to look is to look up. That's the reason why he says in verse 4, so I have been expelled, banished, thy sight, from thy sight. Nevertheless, I will look again toward thy holy temple. Number 3, encouragement in a deplorable condition is presented in 4, which I just read, and down in verse 7, which I have not read, but will read now. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. Oh, look at that. Underline it. We're going to get there next Sunday morning. I don't want you to know that I'm getting ahead of myself, but I am. I was fainting away. I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to Thee in Thy holy temple. Encouragement in a deplorable condition is presented in verse 4, verse 7. Number 4, Jonah's assurance in God's favor is found in verses 6 and 7, and we'll not study that until later. Number 5, Jonah gives warning and instruction to others, and that's found in verse 8. Now, number 6, praise and glory all given to God. We're not there yet, but we will be there in verse 9. Jonah's deliverance, the Lord did it. Verse 10, we'll be there next Sunday. Jonah prayed. Here's the emphasis. His prayer chapel was a smelly, damp, dark, dingy dungeon. I don't know whether you have the mental picture of this thing or not, but you just get a mental picture of being in the stomach of a great big fish. His prayer chapel was a smelly, damp, dark, dingy dungeon. Now, when I got to this point, I said, those folks are not going to pay much attention to me unless I grab their attention. Note. So when I say note, that means pay attention. Note. When he prayed. When he prayed. He prayed when he was in trouble. God had been displeased with his activities. Do you think that God is ever displeased with your activities? Do you think God is ever displeased with your thinking? Do you think that God is ever displeased with your words? Words of meanness, rudeness, unkindness? Do you think that God is ever displeased? When he prayed when he was in trouble. He was praying at a time when God was not happy with the things that he had in his own mind, when he was in affliction. But we notice something here. When he humbled himself and he had a softened heart, when he realized his true need, he realized that doing the will of God was more important than doing his own desires. That was when he prayed. And I wrote myself a note and I reminded you of it. And I said, please note. It's a note. When did he pray? Where did he pray? Where was he? In the stomach of the fish. The scripture says, I will that men pray everywhere. Let me tell you something. If you can pray in a fish's stomach, that tells me that no matter where you are, what the conditions are, what your condition is spiritually, you can pray. Put it down, please. The scripture says, I will that men pray everywhere. So I jotted another little note. Heaven is equally accessible from any part of the earth, including the sea. This lets me know that heaven is accessible from any part of the earth, including the sea. Can you really pray in confinement? If you notice, the title of the message tonight is Freedom in Relationship to Confinement. His confinement actually meant freedom. Are you with me? Are you seeing this? His confinement actually meant freedom. Can you really pray in confinement? The belly of the fish was his prison. Oh, yes. Even though this fish became a closed and dark dungeon to Jonah, he was able to walk in liberty in his mind, in prayer, and in communion with God. Are you still thinking? Are you still listening? Are you able to see this? He's walking in liberty in his mind, in prayer, and communion with the Father while in that dungeon, prison, stomachs, the stomach of the fish. Men may shut us out from communion with one another, but not from fellowship with God. You may have someone in your family that doesn't want you to be right with God and in fellowship with God, but that doesn't mean that you have to be out of fellowship with God. Men may shut you out from communion with one another, but not from fellowship with God. Let me hasten. To whom did he pray? To the Lord, his God. Now he's been fleeing, but not seeing the folly of his fleeing. The way back to the one from whom he was fleeing is through prayer. Oh, how wonderful is the mercy of God. I must hasten. Number four. Substance of prayer. Jonah afterwards reflected upon the content of his prayer. For instance, subpoint one, he saw the earnestness of his prayer. Because the scripture says, he said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. In other words, what we're seeing here in Jonah's prayer, the substance of that prayer, it reflected the content of his mind and soul. I cried, he said, by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. And then I had to write, many who do not pray in prosperity pray earnestly in affliction. Is affliction really good for us? Now, some of you folks are saying tonight, oh, no, preacher. Affliction's not good for us. But let me tell you something. What have I just said? Many who do not pray in prosperity pray earnestly in affliction. So the question is affliction really good for us? Jonah describes this condition as out of the belly of hell, and the belly of the grave, cried I. The fish might well be called a grave for Jonah. Subpoint 2. Jonah saw his deplorable condition in the belly of hell. Jonah was saying in verse 3, the mariners did not really cast me here. Oh God, you did it. Do you see what is being said at that point? When Jonah said, cast me overboard, he didn't just jump. He said, cast me overboard. They cast him overboard. And now he's saying, the mariners may think they did this, but they didn't. God did this. Because it says, thou hast cast me into the deep. It was awful. The floods compassed me about, the scripture says. The waters closed in over me. The deep was round me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. In capital letters, I started typing for you to see this. At this point, who can be trusted to help us? Is this a no-water situation? I got to thinking about all that water, and then I typed out, it is a too-much-water situation and a no-water situation at the same time. A no-water situation with too much water. Isn't that strange? To get out of this prison, to get out of this fish, to be cast overboard would be into more water, deep water. So there's something we have to see. And so I've written it out like this. Remember, many times God's children are encompassed with floods of affliction, troubles that are very forcible and violent. And Jonah quotes here from Psalm 42:7. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. He was saying, I know that the path that I've trodden, the path that I've traveled, is not an untrodden path. David walked before me. If others failed and recover, then I too have hope, but only in the Lord. So tonight, let me say to you quickly, if you feel that somewhere along the line you have failed, you're not the only one who's failed. Others have failed, and we too, like Jonah, have hope. So I look at verse 6. I descended to the roots of the mountains. That's pretty far. The earth with its bars were around me forever. But thou hast brought up my life from the pit. O Lord, my God. Everything seemed closed. Everything seemed shut, barred, locked. Everything was now bolted against him. He was cut off, helpless, hopeless. Is this the end? Is this all? Is the physical existence case of Jonah being consummated? Comfortable enjoyments, joyful expectations seem now to be a thing of the past. What about Job in the dunghill? What about Joseph in the pit? What about David in the cave? The worst thing that Jonah could think of concerning this situation was, I'm cast out from thy presence. At one time, he was running from God's presence. Now he's saying, there's nothing worse than to be cast out of God's presence. What he desperately wanted now, he was running away from earlier. The only way out is up. So the last passage of Scripture, Psalm 27:13. David would have fainted if he had not believed. Jonah said, I will look again toward thy holy temple. Do you see the relationship here? In 2 Corinthians 4:8, we're afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. We'll begin with verse 7 at the next session. May we bow for prayer, please. Thank you, Father, for the challenge of these wonderful verses. Help us to understand that you have a plan for us individually. And no matter how often times we fail, we realize that we have a God who forgives and loves and cares and who will bring us back into a right relationship that we might be usable. Father, thank you for the fact that the Scripture says, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're thankful tonight for the salvation that we have through Christ Jesus. We're thankful that we can be forgiven when we disobey. And we're thankful also that individuals who are lost can believe and have salvation. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. That tells us very vividly that there's only one way of salvation, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray that there will be those who hear this message who will trust you as their own personal Savior, knowing that the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. We thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.